possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Austrian or German accent, he would have buried him. Now it's like, no, they just let him cook on the mic too.
Yeah, and he was not good when he first showed up. Like he not only with on the mic, but also, you know, like there's a lot that's been talked about with like his shape, him getting in shape and everything.
Yeah,
and, like, he's completely
endurance everything.
His, like he's very deserving of the push that he's gotten.
All right, my man. We'll talk later.
All right, see ya.
That is Jason Munns, Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. When we come back, we get into the list. SEC Media Days ongoing. Also, we'll get into some Open Championship preview. Timothy Gay, author of Roiland, going to join us during hour number two. But we've also got Greg McElroy might have lit the SEC Media Days on fire, so we got to talk about it next, right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, we do a little thing called The List. Let's fire it up. Cam Spencer. Yeah, we got a little bit of news from Cam Spencer today. Of course, we knew when free agency opened up that the Grizzlies had come to terms with an extension for Cam Spencer. However, those terms have indeed changed. According to DeMichael Cole, who's out in Las Vegas, the Memphis Grizzlies have signed Cam Spencer to a multi-year contract extension, the team announced today. The deal is a four-year contract worth $10.5 million, according to multiple reports. Memphis had originally agreed to a two-year contract extension with Spencer. After a recent Jay Huff trade and a Cole Anthony buyout, the Grizz had more cap space, allowing them to give Spencer a lengthier deal. Cam, of course, has been one of the Grizzlies' standouts during summer league. He finished with 17 points and 4 assists in the Grizzlies' win back on Saturday night against the Trailblazers. He also had 15 in a loss to the Boston Celtics back on Friday night. So really the key difference is, originally when the signing was announced, it was 2 years. I think the money was kind of roughly the same.
Yeah.
The key difference, though, is by trading Jay Huff and then buying out Cole Anthony, they could then use additional cap space and they could use bird rights for Cam Spencer, therefore giving him the longer-term deal.
Correct. I want to say originally it was a two-year, what, five total, two and a half a season, something around the lines of that. This just gets two extra years on his contract, and for his sake, it's an extra $125K on there.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I want to say of the 4 years, year four is a player.
I think I can double check spot track for that, but I'm not totally sure that's been released.
I think I saw somewhere out there that the fourth year would be a player option, but maybe don't hold me to that.
Let's see. This just looks like a 4 year standard.
Four year standard.
Yep, and then UFA and 29-30.
Okay, we also learned that Santi Aldama would be joining the Players Association over the weekend. Santi also got married, so big weekend of new titles for Santi. So he has been added to the Players Association Board of Directors. Jaren Jackson Jr., also a member of the Players Association Executive Committee. We also had Ja speaking at Summer League, did a round table. It seemed like the headline that everybody took was his comments from Desmond Bain. I don't know. I never hold the guys to, like, it's a scrum. They basically, everybody's like shotgun barrel firing questions, like, from the whole offseason. I just didn't make too much into it. I thought all the answers he gave were fine. I think the other one that seemed that garnered some attraction was Ja thinking that Jaren would have gotten more money, but he was happy that he got paid. But Ja said basically the same thing you and I have been saying, but I don't really understand the salary cap.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, again, like you said, it was just a media scrum. It's at a summer league game. It's July.
Yeah,
not much to really take from it. I think I'm assuming what he's getting at with Jaren potentially getting more money is, hey, this guy is still awesome. If you gave him that extra year and he got he totally could have been a DPOY or an all NBA player, could have gotten that supermax like some of these other guys are getting. I mean, but he's always been hyping up his teammates and even former teammates.
Yeah.
That's just Ja.
Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, then we also got a little bit of additional news about how we will watch the Grizzlies here in the future. This, according to Tom Friend of the Sports Business Journal, all signs point to a 27-28 national RSN launch date. I'll get into that in just a minute. So the Grizzlies were one of the teams that has what we would refer to as the FanDuel Sports Network, which is a subsidiary of Diamond Sports. We know that they announced an extension for one more year. It feels like the NBA is trying to package all the teams that don't have the solid RSN local market games and trying to launch its own direct-to-consumer platform that you will be able to get all of the rights to. But that will not happen this upcoming season. The launch would be for the 27-28 season. So presumably the Grizzlies, who are locked in for 25-26, would perhaps have to sign another one-year deal for 26-27. But I would presume they're also leaving room for what might indeed happen with FanDuel Sports Network. Awful announcing weighed in, saying specifically the Milwaukee Bucks, Cleveland Cavaliers, the Atlanta Hawks, and Miami Heat have all extended their deals with FanDuel Sports following the 24-25 season, all with new agreements lasting through the 26-27 season. Three other franchises, the Charlotte Hornets, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Orlando Magic, have deals with FanDuel Sports Network that expire after the upcoming season. Those teams, Tom Friend suggests, could either look to re-up a one-year deal with FanDuel to get them to 27-28 or go over the air plus streaming route for a season before the national platform launches. I think everyone would kind of root for the over the air. I just don't know if that's what the franchise wants. It's, you essentially become your own television network. No one has really figured it out exactly how to do it. My suspicion is if FanDuel is still viable and operating, yeah, they would probably go the one-year extension.
I would also assume that would probably be the case. I only know of a small handful of teams or markets that you could even really pull off the kind of self-sustained or self-owned network. But those are very specific cases, not really in basketball that I can think of.
So the teams that are currently doing it are the Pelicans, the Jazz.
A little surprising.
Yeah, which is, I would.
Those two are both surprising to me.
Dallas.
I get that. Okay.
Phoenix and Portland. But they, Tom Friend also notes that they will likely welcome joining onto the national platform, which promises to be more lucrative than their individualized setups. According to Friend, there seems to be an appetite among many franchise executives to get this done. Many teams have taken substantial reductions in local media rights fees in recent years. Every team that has gone, quote, the stream and beam route, end quote, is making considerably less than they did prior with the RSN deals, and the increased reach hasn't necessarily paid off either. Quote, some of these over-the-air teams have been disappointed in the level of reach they've been able to attain, a league governor told the Sports Business Journal. Even teams that have struck deals with RSNs face diminished rights fees. The four clubs that extended with FanDuel Sports Network this past season, the Bucks, Cavs, Hawks, and Heat, all received between $7 and $14 million less than what their deals had paid prior to the Diamond Sports Group's emergence from bankruptcy. Even the Grizzlies were in that
group that ended up getting less money.
I don't think anyone made...
we have to remember as well, Diamond Sports essentially went under.
Yes.
What year before last was it, or 2 years ago?
I want to say it was 21, 22.
It's been a long-going thing with them. So those teams aren't actually the ones I was thinking of, which this could be. The one that really comes to mind are all of the ones owned by James Dolan.
Yep.
Since he also
owns the RSN.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that could just be the fact that it's an RSN and he just happens to own all of it. Is that not also the same with like NESN and like the Boston teams?
Aren't they a subsidiary of NBC? And I don't know, was that different than, were they owned by the previous owners?
That could have been it, because the Celtics got...
They're not sold. I would imagine that was not part of the selling of the team.
Probably not. It's also probably just an RSN, just a very small one, because it's also what covers the Red Sox, the Bruins, all of them.
Yeah, according to Friend, when asked what this platform would look like, a source told Friend, quote, NBA League Pass on steroids. The streamer would have the games, of course, and also avenues to buy merchandise, bet on the action, and watch alternative broadcast. After its eventual launch, the NBA would look to add more teams incrementally as more RSN deals expire. To your point, the challenge will be to attract the big brands like the New York Knicks, whose deal with MSG Sports runs through 2029, or the Los Angeles Lakers, whose Spectrum Sports deal runs through 2032.
And Spectrum's an RSN, isn't it? Because don't they also cover...
Spectrum, I thought it was a brand,
a cell phone brand kind
of brand. Time Warner.
Could be.
Maybe it's Charter.
And then what about the Nuggets? Aren't they owned by Altitude? Aren't they run by Altitude? And isn't that also owned by Kroenke?
Yeah, but the Altitude also had a weird. They're not on enough content providers. So I think certain there was a dispute between apparently the biggest cable provider in the Denver area didn't actually cover Nuggets games.
Oh, they didn't get the rights with Altitude. Gotcha.
Correct. So you
didn't Altitude also have like the Pac-12 network or something like that for a little while, or they covered like a handful, or maybe it might have been Mountain West.
Yeah, I mean Altitude, I think it's just its own regional sports network. Like it's not. I don't think they had, they weren't like a primary partner. But yeah, I think there was a Mountain West package that would show up out there.
Yeah.
Think the Rockies are on that?
That sounds right.
But it does seem like the NBA's plan, although what I'm a little unclear of is, how is this plan eventually different than League Pass?
More expensive, no blackouts?
I guess, because and then it pass, seems like the alternate broadcast, whatnot.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing, like, if that's the case, and if there are still local blackouts, but you can choose an alternate broadcast, are we going to end up being stuck watching alternate broadcasts of Grizzlies home games? Or just trying to line up the radio, which I usually end up doing anyway.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. It seems like they have the end goal, but they're not really there with all the details yet.
They've got like a year or two.
Yes. Well, it seems like at the minimum they got a couple to get there. All right, SEC Media Days. All right, so we've had SEC Media Days. I think really the biggest takeaways from this morning, Greg Sankey spoke, and to me, the most important issue was, what are we doing with the playoff? And again, this could be, I fully acknowledge, this could be a leverage play. this could be a negotiation tactic, but it does line up with what we have seen from the SEC since the spring meetings back at Memorial Day weekend, which is he basically publicly acknowledged we're not on the same page as the Big Ten with playoff expansion. So to me, this is still kind of another quiet fist pump of all of us that don't really want the 4+4+2 plus all the play-in games, all the format that is confusing and doesn't really seem like a whole lot of fun. This is a victory for that. He also seemed pretty confident. He's like, we don't have to expand. We could keep going down the 12-team route. But I think what actually kicked off SEC Media Days, we got to give it to Greg McElroy. Today on McElroy and Kublik in the Morning, McElroy brought up an idea during an interview on the show with Paul Feinbaum that would involve someone, quote, very much a person in the know. McElroy pointed out it was someone notable who told him that they think Saban isn't necessarily done coaching. In fact, he said this person was, quote, adamant. This is a little bit out of left field, but the question was asked of me. A very much in the know person that I have a lot of respect for and have spent a lot of time around and just really, really admire. They seem to think Nick Saban's not done coaching, and I had a similar reaction. He's pretty adamant that he thinks Nick Saban will be coaching again. Look, if it wasn't someone notable, I'd never say a word. Feinbaum responded with a resounding no when McElroy asked if he, quote, bought the speculation. Former Alabama quarterback agreed with him, and Feinbaum pointed out the life of the legendary coach is living, including his improved golf game. Greg, you know Nick Saban better than I do, Feinbaum said, but I ran into somebody the other day who spends time with Saban in Florida. You can imagine where. I'm assuming the golf course.
Yeah.
And said that he is literally having the time of his life. And why wouldn't he? I'm much closer to Nick Saban's age than you are, and I can assure you, when you have everything you want and you start playing golf at the best clubs in America, you start making friends who belong to even better golf clubs, you make a lot of money for doing very little work on TV. The interest in doing what he walked away from is not very high. Okay, so I will speculate a little bit here. The only way this is interesting to me is if the person Greg McElroy was talking to was Jimmy Sexton.
Oh. Yeah. I could buy that a little bit.
I also don't think Jimmy Sexton would bring that up.
I don't think if that is information that he has, I don't think that's something he would bring up willingly.
Correct.
You know?
I think that is entirely true. I also think that this is true. If you're going to bring in Nick Saban, don't you want it to be like a short-term fix?
I almost look at that more as not even necessarily a fix, and more in the sense of like a, this is going to sound really bad, but a rental in terms
of... Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like,
we've already got a lot of good in
place. Right, we have a team ready to win.
We just got to get there.
The problem, though, is I don't know if that exists in college because... Even if you quote-unquote have the roster, when you fire the coach, the whole roster has to either get re-recruited. This isn't like in professional sports where they'd be under contract.
No.
And so I think that makes it much more difficult. But I got to give credit. We had the headline story to kick off SEC Media Days right there on Monday.
Yeah, that was definitely one of those things that you kind of wake up to or you see pretty early on in your day and you're like, whoa, we've got at least something to go on. I just don't see it. Like, for a lot of the same reasons that Feinbaum doesn't, he's already in his early 70s. He seems to be doing a lot more of what he actually wants to do that isn't football related. When he is on TV, he's been pretty good. I think
he, McAfee, I think they've re-energized College Game Day. I think
absolutely.
I think it is a much more watchable product. Like, I do think his plan somewhat got spoiled by losing to Michigan in overtime. I think he knew if we win the Michigan game, we're winning the national title.
Yeah.
And when that didn't happen, the walk-off into the sunset thing got interfered with a little bit. But, man, I just cannot see, unless they figure out roster control, I cannot see him actually wanting to dip his toe back in.
on that note, I think the only real way that you could do that, or kind of could get away with doing that without your team just going somewhere else, would be going in and saying, this is like, that has to be a back-to-back type of announcement. This can't just be, okay, we're letting go of X coach. Give us a couple days. It has to be, we're letting go of coach.
And
by the way,
we're announcing
Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And immediately, same day.
And that's really difficult to execute.
Exactly. I don't see it as super realistic. I don't think it's any real relation to what's going on at UNC.
I just don't
know where it came from either, because like that is truly out of the blue.
Greg's dad was an executive and for the Cowboys. Like, I mean, Greg, I know, knows a lot of agents.
I don't think it's an NFL story either. I don't see that, because that would have happened by now.
I don't think he wants to do that. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we got the Open Championship. Rory McIlroy finished second at the Scottish Open. He's poised to go back to one of the courses in his home country. We'll talk with Timothy Gay about that and the Open when we come back right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to
building
a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
ESPN. Timothy Gay is the author of the recently released book, Rory Land. It's the up and downs of the world's global, or world of golf's global icon. He's joined us several times on the program. He, of course, the author of five other critically acclaimed books. But Rory Land, available now wherever you get your books. Kind enough to join us now. I guess, Tim, since the last time we spoke, what do you make of the last couple of months of our boy?
It's been up and down. That's why it's in the subtitle of the book, my man. Jeffrey, how are you?
I am well. I'm feeling a little better
after last weekend. I'm actually not down after the back nine yesterday because, yes, he could have won that, but
he could have.
I like it better that, all right, we're playing well. I'm a little concerned with the driver. I think you would be too.
Yeah, I think it has been a little bit crooked. He's got a right miss going on, which is not what you want going into the Open Championship here. But I think for the most part, his ball striking was pretty solid through the weekend. His putting was very good, but the putter unfortunately turned a little balky down the stretch yesterday. He missed narrowly from inside 15 feet about three or four times. But on balance, you're right, man. He's playing pretty well, and I think he's feeling very good about his chances this week.
What did you make of the abrasive attitude towards media? Does it, for you, just all stem back to the he got really upset about the leaked driver test?
Yeah, I think so. He has a right to be mad. I mean, why was he singled out when there were a dozen other drivers found non-compliant here? I mean, he didn't understand why a process that is supposed to be super confidential and opaque suddenly got opened up, but only for him. And then he became a sort of bad guy on the internet. And, you know, people just took this and concluded that somehow he had cheated at Augusta, which is just ridiculous. The difference between a conforming and a non-conforming driver, the distance you gain with a non-conforming can be measured in inches and feet, as you know, Jeffrey. It's a big nothing burger of an issue.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I guess this is the other thing, because I feel like Morikawa fell into this, and being in my line of work, I always realized that golf is like 4 or 5 years behind what else is happening, and this was a big thing in the NBA, and you still see players dealing with it where they blame the media becomes the quote unquote target. But really what they're referring to is actually reaction online and social media. And that's like what they're responding to. And that's what's eating at them. But I thought we'd solve this with Rory. Like, I thought we just basically got off the internet for like 3 or 4 years. That's always my number one recommendation to him is like, don't read the comments. You'll be fine. Right. Nobody cares.
That's right. But I think he got caught up and he didn't understand why he and he alone sort of got singled out for this. But you're right. He's blaming the wrong folks. The media is not to blame here. If he wants to be pissed at somebody, be pissed at the USGA rules people, the PGA of America and the PGA Tour, all of whom in different ways have let him down. In my view, the PGA Tour betrayed him on the live debate issue. And he needs to move on, man. And you got to have a thick skin, and you can't. He is Rory McIlroy, golf's global icon. I mean that literally. He has got a responsibility to stay away from all of that and be above it all.
No, I'm with you. I think they trotted him out there and they made him take all the bullets. I would also point out to Rory, Phil lost his workday deal. You picked that one up. Like, it wasn't all just a zero sum game. Like, Rory picked up some very, very lucrative money opportunities. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's almost like, though, what I took the biggest positive from this weekend, and I think we even saw it today because he was out at Port Rush at 7 a.m., like apparently
he
slept
sure was
4 hours. I just think he's kind of refound some fire. And that's what I thought was the most disheartening thing to watch the last few months was, A, he's fighting with people on the internet, but also it's like, man, he just looked like he just didn't have any purpose out there.
Yeah, but, you know, he's not alone. Look at what happened to Coco Gauff, Jeff, after she won at Roland Garros. She just couldn't find herself mentally or physically, and she just got whacked the couple of times she tried to play on grass and really kind of embarrassed herself at Wimbledon. But she's going to come back strong. Watch. She's really going to be in contention at the U.S. Open here in a few weeks. And I think Roy's the same way. I think it's very tough to achieve what was basically a lifelong goal, coupled with a decade-long frustration to complete the career Grand Slam. He got to the mountaintop, Jeffrey, and I think it's real tough once you get to the summit to psych yourself up about making the climb all over again. But he's had a couple of months now to reset, and I think he has reset mentally. I thought he was in very good spirits through the weekend in Scotland.
How helpful do you think that it is that he went through 2019 before? Because obviously, I mean, I'm sure you were like me. You stayed up till 1 a.m. to watch him hit a rope hook out of bounds on the first tee shot, and we realized, okay, well, this is done. And then we got him chasing to make the cut on that Friday, which honestly, up until Shane on Sunday, that was, I thought, the best, most memorable aspect of the cut was like watching Rory try to go on a run to make the cut. But I almost feel like dealing with all that pressure in 2019 helps him out this year.
It sure does. You're absolutely correct. And what happened was he spent that whole week in 2019 telling himself it's just another golf tournament. It's no big deal. What it was Ryder Cup pressure ratcheted up to 11. I just saw Spinal Tap last week, so it's fresh in mind. Ratcheted up to 11.
Outstanding film.
Yeah, incredible. I saw it on the big screen. It was just great. Anyhow, his knees were knocking on that first tee. If you call it up on YouTube, and listeners should do this, you'll see that Rory was not in his regular routine on that first tee. And I say this in the book. He didn't pick up a target more than just sort of momentary. He was too quick through his routine, and he just did what you and I have done a million times, which is hit a quick hook. It wasn't that bad a swing, but as you know, at Portrush, they've got this thing called interior out of bounds, which our friend Jeff Shackelford's been writing about and deploring this week. It really violates, in my view, the spirit of Lynx golf, but he hit it left where there were out of bounds markers, and he had to re-tee. He had another one badly left, this one barely inbounds. His next shot found thick cabbage just short of the green. He couldn't play that one, had to take another and play. He ended up with a god-awful quadruple bogey on the first tee. He lived a nightmare. He had thought about competing in an Open Championship in his native land since he was a little kid, finally had a chance to do it, and in 10 minutes, the dream was gone.
The dream was indeed gone. Also, that was, you know, turned out one of his best buds ends up winning the tournament with Shane Lowry. But I also think this is what's kind of interesting about this year in golf, where, okay, we start off with Rory winning the Players, and, you know, that gave, honestly, a lot of confidence for Rory heading into Augusta. I think it also helped that Mr. Augusta, Scottie Scheffler, was still not quite firing on all cylinders. Well, a month later, we see Scottie firing on all cylinders. He wins the PGA. Then we have just the massacre at Oakmont, which restored my faith in the U.S. Open, that we can actually have a real U.S. Open. J.J. Spaun survives. But now we get to where the Open Championship kind of bookends the season.
Yep.
How are you kind of viewing this? Because we've gone from this stretch of it felt like we had nothing but Rory winning, Bryson winning, we had Xander winning twice, Scottie winning. We had the big, big names. Then we get J.J. Spaun, who's had a phenomenal year, but it wasn't anyone that I think people had on top of mind for winning the U.S. Open. How do you think we kind of frame this tournament?
Yeah, I think this one has a chance to be an absolute classic. Royal Portrush, Jeffrey, as you know as well as anyone, is one of the great links courses on this planet. It's also gorgeous. Have you been there? Have you seen it?
So we've not been there, but we had a nice little local skirmish where the last time it was at Portrush. Kyle Porter of CBS Sports at the time.
Right.
They had the overhead shot from one of the crane cams overlooking the Irish Sea. Just a phenomenal picture. And Kyle tweeted something to the effect of, and next week we'll be at TPC Southwind. And then, of course, Memphis having a proverbial chip on their shoulder. Going like, I know what he means. He's not picking at Memphis. Like, everyone's like, he's coming at me. It's like, no, we don't have an ocean. Like, we have a river and the golf course isn't on it. Like, it was a farm. Like, it was a dairy farm. And like that, it was more picking at the PGA Tour. But yes, it is on the bucket list of places I want to go. Oh, by the way, Lord. Rory does have the course record, 61. He shot it when he was 16.
61, shot as a 16-year-old yes. amateur, and barely 16, Jeffrey. I mean, he was 1 month into his 16th year, and I happened to, for the book, be able to interview one of the guys in his threesome that day, and his description, this guy's description of what it was like to be out on this fabulous golf course without gallery ropes, without marshals, without anybody, and word gets out to the village that the kid from Hollywood just down the road is on a heater, and literally half of Portrush rushed out onto this sacred golf course to watch this kid play, and it was just, he shot absolutely lights out. I believe it was a 28 on the backside. Brian Keough, great Irish golf writer, called it almost sacrilegious. If you could walk Portrush the way I did in 2019, I was there for the Tuesday practice round that week. Jeffrey, it is as hard a golf course as you can ever imagine. It's also stunning because it's right next to the North Channel of the Irish Sea and just a spectacular setting. And really, really fun to be part of. The village has this old amusement park in it, so it's got this kind of tacky Atlantic City feel, if you know
what
I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Just a fabulous milieu for golf. So much fun to be part of. And, you know, Rory shot 61. There is a 16-year-old and a 79.
Yep.
As a, I think, 30-year-old, whatever that was.
See, that would have been
2019. Yeah. So it's, you know,
he just turned 36, right? I think he's 36 right. in May, so he would it would have been 31, I think.
Yeah, but anyhow, the place owes him. He owes the place. It should be a fabulous mixture, and I just hope Shane plays well too. But I think we've got a very good chance of Scotty and Rory coming down the stretch together.
Well, I think also I feel like Xander has, you know, with a year where he's dealt with some injuries, it feels like Xander's starting to find some form. I never know what to expect with Vic every single week, where it's like you think Vic has figured it out and then he goes back into the wilderness, but I have no idea. But like, it does feel like now with the Open closing the major season, it does feel like you can kind of get everybody's best shot.
Yeah, that's right. And I think Victor has been playing much better. You're right about Schauffele. He's there. Justin Rose came out of the blue yesterday and shot nothing to climb back into contention yesterday. So there's a lot of good going on in the world of golf, and golf needs this. It would be fabulous if we had a Nicholas Palmer dynamic at Portrush. Be so much fun if Scotty and Rory could come down the stretch together.
How do we handicap? I saw today on social media that John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau were about to hit the YouTube links with like Fat Perez, Grant Horvath. I don't know if I like Rahm doing that.
Yeah, look, I mean,
we all got to make a nickel, but like I was like, that's not a Rahm thing to do.
It is not. That ought to be beneath him. Forgive me. I have been accused of being anti-Liv because I am anti-Liv.
I'm anti-tour split. You know what I mean? Like in the end, like I think both PR campaigns were disingenuous, but I'm anti-Liv in the sense of like, it really annoys me that, like, and honestly, it worked against both parties because now, you know, I was thinking about this weekend in the college group chat. We were just chatting about, you know, how do you rank the tennis grand slams versus the men's golf majors?
Yeah.
And there's this weird reality that I don't think the tennis grand slams are any less prestigious than they've ever been, but it now feels like golf has been elevated with the major championships. Not because of anything that's happened other than the tour split. And this is the only time that we feel like they play at the same time. So therefore, every event feels that much bigger.
That's absolutely a very perceptive commentary, Jeffrey. Agree with it completely. And yes, it would be fabulous if Rahm and DeChambeau and the other Liv guys, Cameron Smith, huge Cameron Smith fan, miss him week to week because he is a short game genius. Wish I could see him at his absolute best, and maybe he'll have it this week. But a chance for an absolutely classic Open Championship this week.
Well, we've also got Ludwig's playing better.
Yes, we do.
And
yeah, again, love that golf swing. That is a rhythmic, beautiful golf swing. And any golf swing that has a sort of Sam Snead tempo to it, and I would include Rory in that category, is just...
It's why I loved Louis forever.
...to watch. Pardon me?
That's why I loved Louis forever.
Oh, yeah. I love Louis, but Louis never won in North America. The only PGA Tour victory in his life was the Open Championship 2010 in St. Andrews, which is, you know, counts as a PGA event. I mean, it's the damnedest thing.
And I think our boy was the opening round leader.
Yeah, oh, he sure was. Yeah. He shot a...
And then I think he shot 80.
And as I write in the book, an 80 on Friday, and horrible wind conditions, but the great Dan Jenkins sort of watched Rory falling apart on Friday and was tugging on a cigarette to Brian Keough outside the press tent at St. Andrews and said, the kid didn't understand that 75 was a good score. He kept on pushing, pulling too hard on things, trying to shoot too good a score when 75 would have been great, would have kept him in it. Instead, he shot 80 and kind of blew himself out of contention. But to his credit, came back to finish third.
No, I always put that in the era of Rory didn't believe in wind. He didn't really, like, if he can't see it physically, like, he just didn't believe in it. Because it was almost like he just tried to hit everything through it.
Right. No, that's exactly right. And, for a kid who grew up on one of the windiest places on the planet, Northern
it never
Ireland,
made any sense to me.
It's very strange. And grew up, if you could see the golf course, as I have, that he grew up on this beautiful little hillside course that requires all manner of tough little chips and pitches. I just don't quite get why Rory hasn't been a more dominant open player, but I think we may see that this week.
Do we know about conditions yet?
Bad weather, I know that. Rain forecast for each of the 4 days, but not overly windy.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
Irish standards. And in the 60s, which, as you know, that's nice open weather.
That's brisk. Well, yeah, I saw Goddard up today. He was like in a beanie. He had a toboggan on. I was like, that's a good American right there. I was like, oh, this is too cold for me. Tim, you're always gracious to join us.
Well.
Thank you, my man.
Jeffrey, always a thrill, man.
That is, again, Tim Gay. His book is Rory Land, The Up and Down of the World of Golf's Global Icon. It is available now for purchase. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, we got Elaine Kiffin today at SEC Media Days. He had a picture up on social media yesterday of, I believe that's his daughter, with a giant, giant fish in which he tagged at Coach Hugh Freeze. When Hugh Freeze landed recruits in the past, he would post pictures of him bass fishing. So Elaine Kiffin decided to start posting photos of his fishing trips, tagging the Auburn head coach in the process. This led many to believe that the Rebels coach was taking aim at Hugh, though Kiffin did have a different explanation. Well, someone said that one in here to me. I like Coach Freeze. So I think that was something to do with, like, I was fishing. It was golfing. It wasn't really that. I have a thing with him going back a few years when he posted a picture in response to me of some 2-pound bass or something like that. So I always kind of posted bigger fish pictures back towards him. Had nothing to do with his golf game, which sounds like he's doing amazing at that, so good for him. And I was fishing yesterday in the dead period, by the way, Lane mentioned jokingly. So just wanted to also throw in the golf jab as well. Want to thank Tim Gay for being on the program, as well as Jason Munz. Tim Murray will be with us tomorrow, but if you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kinn Show is coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered.
Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.